Turn with me to that sixth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Paul, in these three or four chapters here in the middle of the book of Romans, is writing to those that are in Christ, those that are represented by Christ, to those that are saved by the grace of God. He writes unto them to help them to see what their positive state before God is. It's relatively easy to talk about being freed, being delivered from the penalty that's due us as sinners, that there's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Now, it's easy to talk about those things, but to understand them and to come in grips with them is on another page. Everybody in the religious world talks about the forgiveness of sins. They're forgiven, and they love Christ and this and that and so forth, but how that can be so is another thing. And if a man doesn't know some things relative to the forgiveness and the pardon and the justification and his completeness in Christ and how he got to be complete in Christ and the fullness of the salvation of God, it will not affect him very much. The salvation of God, if we've really and truly came to God as sinners and know him in the pardon and forgiveness of our sins, these things that I'm about to read to you certainly will take on a greater meaning. In this 10th verse, or in the 11th verse of this 6th chapter, 11th and 12th verse I'll read. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Likewise. Now the likewise refers to what he has said before. He says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead. Now, if we be dead with Christ, Paul's referring to believers, to himself. Paul was a believer in Christ Jesus. And so the we includes Paul as well as every other believer then and now and believers yet to come. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now, if we're dead with him, if this is the true fact, if this is really so, that we have died with Christ, you and I who are believers, if we believe that we have died with Christ, in that He died, we believe that we died, in that He died. He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. So likewise, reckon ye, if He died unto sin once, He dieth no more. Likewise, reckon, consider this to be so here. Reckon it to be so. In that He liveth unto God. Likewise, consider this to be so, that ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. If Christ be dead unto sin, reckon then that you're dead unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, it's very hard to say which is a privilege and which is a duty. For that which is a duty under one aspect is a privilege under another aspect. It's a privilege, certainly, that we have been able to worship God aright. We worship Him in spirit and truth. We come to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Christ, as He said, paid all that justice demanded against our sin. We believe that, and we have the privilege to come to Him without any sin, without any guilt of that sin, because Christ died unto sin, unto the guilt of sin. Christ did not die unto sin in the sense that He had sin. He didn't die under the power of sin because He had no sin, but He died unto the guilt of sin. Under the guilt of sin. So we're dead unto the guilt of sin, and now we have the privilege of crying, Abba, Father, in our hearts. We come to Him because we're the sons of God. The guilt of sin has been taken away. The condemnation of sin has been taken away. We're not the children of wrath, even as others. Why? Because He died to the guilt of sin, to the power of it, to the guilt of it, to the shame of it. And we have been made the children of God by faith in Him. We are now, in this great privilege, believers are in union with Christ. We're one with Him. We were one with Adam in the Garden of Eden. We were one. We was in His loins. What He did is charged to us, reckoned to us, imputed to us. We are what we are now as sinners because of the consequence of Adam's sin. We were one with Adam, and now we're one with Christ. second Adam, and he's died unto sin. And he that has died unto sin dieth no more. And so our privilege is we worship and thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent, who died under the guilt of ours. That's a privilege that we have. We have this privilege. Beloved, what manner the love of God here. What great and marvelous thing this is, the love of God, that we who are the children of wrath by nature, sinners by nature, by choice, by practice, delivered from the guilt of our shame and our sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be called the sons of God. We might be the sons and the daughters of God Almighty. Now, what a privilege that is. Sons and daughters of God Almighty, who there's only one God, the true and the living God. He hath made all things. He sustains all things. He's over and above everything else. And we have this privilege, this blessed privilege of calling Him our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. It's a privilege that we're able to join together this morning and sing hymns of His glory and of His praise. It's a privilege that we join to pray and to read the Scripture. That's a privilege. We have that privilege. But this privilege also enjoins a duty, privilege and duty are joined together. You remember where it says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You can't have one without the other. You can have this privilege, but there's duty joined to the privilege. That's the reason he says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, under the guilt and shame of sin. He does not say that you have no sin in you. Reckon yourself dead unto it. Christ paid the penalty in your place. So, consider that you are like Him. But it does not say that you have no sin in you. Now, there's folks that do actually take this Scripture to mean where it says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed, means that they have no sin. They have no sin. They're dead unto sin, so they have no sin. They have no sin in one aspect. It's been paid for, but they still have sin in here. They still got sin inside. Who would say, who would hold to such a view as to say, I am absolutely free from sin. I'm perfect in every shape, form, and manner. Say, there's no sin in me. Who would say that? Who among us or anybody else would say, there's never been a time when there's been any lust in my heart? My God, brethren, we have lust in our heart. We are imperfect. There's sin in us, but there's no sin on us. That's what we're talking about. There's no sin on us. No guilt. Because He died unto sin once, and He dieth no more. That is, He's not going to be crucified again. Well, think about it now. I said, for that which is a duty, under one aspect is a privilege under another aspect. It's hard to divide duty and privileges which God hath joined together. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now we should count it our highest privilege to do His will, the will of God, in every duty. Privileges and duties of the believer's life are connected with the Lord Jesus Christ because we are one with Him. And I spent considerable time not too long ago talking to you about the oneness of the believer in Christ, that He said, I am the vine and you're the branches. I'm the vine, I'm the main stem and the root, you're the branches. We're one. We're one with Jesus Christ. The man that comes to Christ, truly comes to Christ as a sinner, to have his needs met as a sinner, he becomes one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then everything that Christ is, He is. That's what it means. Everything that Christ has done, He has done it representatively for Him who is in the vine, who is described as the branches. He's one with Jesus Christ. So privileges and duties of the believer's life are connected inseparably to the Lord Jesus Christ because we're one in Him. We are loved of the Father. It says many times in the Scriptures, at least three times that I can think of, that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He, God the Father, loveth the Son. He's well pleased with the Son. God loves us in Christ Jesus. So we are connected with Him. We're one with Him. We are loved of the Father. We are redeemed from death and from hell. And we're separated from this world. In other words, you get nothing in Christ except as you get it through Christ. Apart from Him, apart from Jesus Christ, every man, regardless of how moral he is in his own eyes or in the eyes of his neighbors, in the eyes of his family, regardless of how moral he is, if he is not in Christ, he's apart from Christ, and he is poor, the Bible says, miserable, naked, and blind. As you were, who are a believer, before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us, before we came, was the children of wrath, even as others. And our condition and state before God was that we was poor, miserable, naked, and blind. We knew nothing of God or God's Christ. Nothing whatsoever. Well, now listen. These two verses here, verses 10 and verses 11. Let me read them one more time. For in that He died, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died. That is an indisputable fact. Everybody, the whole world knows that Christ died. There was a man whose name was Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless, spotless, perfect, pure life. He died. He died. For in that He died unto sin once, just one time, never to die again, never to be crucified for sins again. But in that He liveth, He liveth unto God forever. That's us, right? We're in Him. What He did, we did. See? In that He died, we died. He died unto sin once. We died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. A fella asked me not too long ago, said, when was it you were saved? I was saved 2,000 years ago. That's when I was saved. I was saved when Christ died in my stead, my place, my room, and bore the guilt and shame of my sins. That's when I was saved. That's when He took away my sin. He died. And because He died, I'll never die. Never die in the sense as we understand death. Died under sin. Well, listen now. These two verses. Reckon ye yourselves. Likewise, in light of that, in light of verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, likewise reckon yourself, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin. Christ died unto sin. Now, what He did is charged to you. It's imputed to you. It's put down on your ledger. What He did. We were in Him. And what He did, we did. So just grasp this, He said. Just grasp this. Likewise, consider yourself as He is. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but you're also alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, in light of that, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. It doesn't say that it's not there. See what I'm talking about? It doesn't say there's no sin in your mortal body. It indicates that there is sin in here because He said, don't let it reign. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. Don't let it have power over your life. If you sin, confess your sin unto God. Don't let it reign. A man can't have no peace or joy or happiness if he doesn't understand that he's dead unto sin. He will not live complacent and say, well, I'll rest on my laurels here. I have no sin. I'm dead unto sin. No, he'll confess his sins. He knows that sin reigns here, or that sin's here, but it doesn't reign, but it's in there. And when we sin, that's the reason our Lord said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteousness, or the righteous one. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Well, I'm dead sure of this one thing now. Listen to me closely. I'm dead sure of this. That God never asked the believer to reckon a thing to be what it is not. He never asked a man to do that. He wouldn't ask us to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, to be dead unto something that was not. That would be contrary to the nature of the gospel and contrary to the character of God. And that would be to build on a false foundation. That would be inconsistent with the very character of God Himself. There are no suppositions and imaginations in the gospel. It speaks of a positive sin. It speaks of a positive punishment. It speaks of a positive righteousness. It speaks of a positive forgiveness. God would not have His people to reckon unto themselves anything that is not true. You see that, Pat? He says we are to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. He wouldn't ask us to be dead unto something that was not so. We are dead unto sin. That's what I'm trying to say. If that's all you get out of that, this morning, understand it. Then I'll be successful in my teaching and preaching. He wouldn't ask you to be dead unto something that was not. If it was not so, that's contrary to the character of God. So it's so. Glorious, glorious truth. Type of truth. We're dead unto it. Dead unto the guilt of it, the shame of it. No condemnation now. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That is, when you die, you're not going to go out there in eternity and stand before the multitude of people, and God's going to take every sin that you ever committed and flash it on a big screen and weigh the good against the bad and the wicked against the evil and see if you come up with enough goodness in order to get you to heaven. That's not the way it is. Your sin is all. You died under sin once in Christ on the tree 2,000 years ago. And there's no condemnation now. There's no judgment for you. Christ is your judgment. He's your condemnation. See, that's the good news. What Christ did in your behalf. Reckon it to be so, he said. Consider this to be true. I don't ask you to consider anything that's not so to be so. It's true. We are so vitally joined with Him. We're so vitally connected with Christ that when He died, we died. And he that died, dieth no more. Why did He die? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ die? Because our sins was laid on Him. That's the reason He died. Well, if He died because our sins was on Him, and He was paying the penalty to do our sins. He died and He was buried. But He came forth from the grave and He dies no more. That means that He won't be crucified again. And that means if my sins were laid on Him, my sins will never be laid on Him again because He abolished them. He buried them forever. That's the idea of it. And He would have His people rejoice in what God has done for us in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And I'm saying now, it does not mean here that you are to reckon that there's no sin in you. There's no sin in you. He does not mean that because we know there is. We still have a sinful heart. We still have times of lust. We still are not perfect. We still don't love God with all our heart and all our body, all our soul and all our mind, do we? Only in Him we do, but not in ourselves. We're still human. We still play the part. We still say things at times that maybe are not entirely 100% right. We project ourselves to be something sometimes that we're not. We're sinners. It's because of this. You are not to reckon that which is not true unto yourself. That which God the Holy Spirit intends for you to reckon unto yourself is a matter of positive, undisputable, undoubted fact of God. And the great fact of these scriptures that I read to you is this, that every believer, small or great, every believer, every poor soul that is heavy laden and burdened down with their sins, that comes to Jesus Christ to have their sins paid for, to be clothed with His righteousness, every one of those poor, hopeless, helpless sinners is truly dead to sin. Because Christ has died to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is our covenant head. He's the head of God's people. He's our covenant head. Now listen to me. And what He did in the room and in the place and in the stead of His people. What He did. He did in their place, in their room, and in their stead. He did it all representatively in their behalf. He done it in their behalf. When He came to undertake in their behalf, the behalf of the people that God chose unto Himself before time ever was. He did it all representatively on their behalf. So what He did, they virtually did through Him as their representative. Always remember, and I'll say this, I've said it before, but let me say it again. Always remember that the federal principle has been adopted by God in His dealings with the human race from the very beginning. At the beginning, all of us were represented in Adam, the first Adam. So Adam's sin brought us all into transgression and condemnation, so that we all have become partakers in the result of Adam's sin. Now, it was not actually our sin, was it? It was Adam's sin. It wasn't actually our sin, but because it became ours by imputation, and it brought upon us all the terrible consequences of the fall of Adam. Now, because Adam was our federal head, I read that to you. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's the reason we're sinners. Because one man's disobedience, Adam. Now, because Adam was our federal head, and listen to me closely, will you please listen to me here this morning? In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ is the federal head and representative of His people, and what He has done, He has done it on the behalf of the people that He represents. It is reckoned unto them as though they had done it. Likewise, ye reckon yourselves. He has done it as though His people has done it. See that? He's done it as though His people reckon it. Reckon it. Consider it to be so. It's reckoned as though they had done it. You see, it's due us as having broken God's law. We should endure the punishment resulting from our disobedience. And that punishment was death. The Bible says so. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The sentence of death upon every member of Adam's race is overwhelming. And it's dreadful. It's terrible. And there's nothing that can describe it but the word death. Death describes it. But He died. All that's involved in this awful thing called death, He experienced. He died unto sin once. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to have died, to be dead indeed You say, well, is this? You reckon this could happen to me that I'd die? Well, listen, if you're a believer, it's already happened to you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's already happened to you 2,000 years ago. Huh? It's happened. We who believe, we've been confronted with our sins. Our sins was rolled on Him. And we are in Him. And He has been confronted with our sins. We have been confronted with our sins. We have been accused of them. And we have been condemned for them. And we have been punished for them. And the full penalty has been paid by our federal head, second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. We died that death. We died it representatively in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about here. Can you grasp this great truth? Let me say it again. Whatsoever was due from us to God's inflexible, unbending, unerring justice has been fully paid by Jesus Christ, our head. Whatever is due, death, whatever death is in all its miseries, death, 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 die and go to the grave. That's not just what death is. It's just to be buried under some dirt. Death is to be separated from the land of all living. Death is to be separated from every ray of the sunshine of God's goodness forever and forever and forever and forever. Death is to go to be punished. To be punished everlastingly and eternally separated from God forever. That's what death is. Whatever was due from us to God's justice has been fully paid by our blessed Redeemer, our Savior, our substitute, our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever of suffering was necessary as the result of sin, from the penal side of the question, our Lord Jesus Christ has endured the suffering that was due us. He died unto sin, bearing the penalty representatively, our Lord Jesus. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm trying to say. Suppose a man has been found guilty, a man in this world, a human being like you and me, in everyday life. Suppose a man has been found guilty of a crime, which is of a capital offense, according to the law of the country that he lives in. The only way of dealing with this man, in justice now, is that this man that committed the crime, and the crime was of the nature that it demanded capital punishment. The only way that you could possibly deal with this man in justice is that he would have to endure the penalty for his crime. If he committed a crime in a country that considered the crime that he committed of a capital offense, and hanging by the neck or the electric chair or the gas chamber was the penalty for the crime, the only way you could deal with it in justice would be to put him to death. Now suppose then the sentence was carried out and the man was put to death. And after they put him to death, they let his family take his body. The penitentiary that carried out the executive orders of the law of the country, they didn't want him. They're through with him. They didn't care who took him out of that death chamber or cut him loose from the rope, the hangman's rope. They didn't care. They're through with him. They've got nothing to do with him no more. The state has been satisfied by the death. He paid what justice demanded. But they say, well, they ask some of the superiors around, has he got a wife or you got any children or cousins or aunts or uncles? Yeah, there's one out there. Well, tell him here's the body. And so he takes the body and they go to the undertaker and they clean him up and they put some new clothes on him and they take him out in the graveyard and they dig a hole and they put him down in that hole and they put the dirt to him. He's buried. But after that, he comes forth from the grave. After he dies and has been buried, that man arises from the grave. Can the law touch that man? Can the law touch that man? No, the law can't touch him. The same justice that brought him to the bar of justice now rears its head and declares that that man cannot be touched who has arisen from the dead. He cannot be twice charged with the same crime. Now, this cannot happen among men. This cannot happen in the world that we live in. It has never happened, and it never will happen among men. But it did happen in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. It did actually happen. For all his people, all the people that the Father gave him, God's got a people. He chose a people. If he hadn't chosen us and sent Christ to redeem us, would there be anybody saved among the multiplied billions and billions of people that have been born of Adam? Not one. Our case is so bad and so desperate. In ourselves, we would never seek and search after God. God must seek and search after us and bring us unto himself, or we'll never be found. For all his people, all of God's people, all the people in Adam's race are not the people I'm talking about. Because there has been multiplied billions of people that have died prior to today who died in an unbelieving state. They didn't believe on the name of the only begotten Son. Where are they at? They're paying the penalty that the old God, and old God's justice, the penalty that's due them against their disobedience, against their sins, they're paying that penalty. But listen, you never heard tell of one of them rising from the dead and coming back, did you? Why? Because he can never fully pay that penalty. That penalty is forever. It's eternal. He continues to pay every second. And and there'll never be no let up. Never be no let up. But God's got some people. He's got some people that He chose in eternity past out of Adam's race. Why He chose them, I don't know. I know He didn't choose them because there's any good in them, because they were the children of wrath, even as others. There's no good. He chose them because He desired to choose them. He chose them because He wanted to. He chose them because it pleased Him. I thank God He chose me. I thank God Almighty that He arrested me. I was arrested one time in my life. I was arrested. I was arrested and I was incarcerated. That they grabbed me. And I fought back. And me and the policeman rolled on the ground. And one of them hit me across the head, and that's all there was to it. They arrested me. And people came to me after that, and they said, "Well, you didn't do anything wrong. Just defend yourself." Said, we got a committee here. We're going to try to expose the undue punishment forced upon people by the law, for the sheriff and the police department and all that. This unruly behavior that we want you to come and..." And I said, "No." I said, "I don't want to testify to nothing." I said, "I had one brush with that law. One brush with it. And I come out on the short end of it, and I don't want no more of it." And I ain't been arrested again. And that's been over 50 years ago. I come out on the short end of it, Pat. Got my nose broke. Can't breathe today on account of that. I don't want no brush with the law. I thank God that He came along in His mercy and His goodness and His kindness and His grace, and He arrested me. He arrested me. Stopped me. Turned me. And gave me a good hope. Made known to my poor soul that I had criminal intents and thoughts and was a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. Stop me. And I heard the good news that Christ came to seek and to save sinners. And it's revealed unto me what I was. And it didn't take much prodding or pointing for me to get to Christ. I run to Him. I run to Him. For all His people, all of God's people, He has borne the death penalty. And He has risen again. And His people have borne the death penalty in Him and have risen from the dead in Him. Can they be charged now for their sins when their sins was laid on Him? And He paid what was due their sins in the full, and He was buried and rose again? Will He have to do it again? No. Will you have to bear? Will you have to die and go to the grave and bear your sin? Oh no. No, when he died, He died for all of His people, and He's borne the death penalty and has risen again. And He dieth no more. And His people have borne the death penalty in Him and are risen from the dead in Him. This is a blessed fact. It's a blessed truth. And I rejoice in it. And if you ever get a hold of it, and I think some of you have and some of you will, and if you do, it'll make your heart dance with joy to know you're not under condemnation, not under condemnation. You're free. You died. You're risen again. You're in Christ. All's well. Got a perfect robe of righteousness on, because He gave it to you. We are emancipated, the people of God. Delivered, because our ransom price has been fully paid. Set free from the law. Not by the law, waiving the penalty due our sin. That's not the way it is. The law said, well, I'll just bring the law down to meet that poor sinner's understanding and his need. No! The law never waived the penalty of sin. Oh, no. The ransom price has been fully paid, set free, emancipated from the law. Not by the law waiving the penalty due our sin, but the penalty has been endured in the person of one who had the right to endure it, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of them that believe, our substitute. The apostle here has said we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the other side of this great truth of the oneness that we have, or of the union, our union in Christ Jesus. That every believer in Christ is alive unto God. Why? Because Christ is alive unto God. Huh? And we know that He is alive unto God. Knowing, Paul said, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Our great debt of sin was laid on Him and laid to His account. And by His death, the death of His person, the death of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, He took our sins and discharged all the liability that was against us and made us free in Christ Jesus. Well, we are no longer dead unto God, but we're alive unto Him, and He will not die twice for the sin of His people that was laid on Him and brought Him down to the grave. But there He was buried. There He was buried, and it was He that rose again, no longer bearing the sin for which He paid the penalty. That sin cannot be laid on Him again, and it cannot be laid on His people. Oh, rejoice with me. You can never have that sin laid to your charge again if you're a believer in Christ Jesus. If you've come to Christ, He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you've come to Christ, you come to Him casting your all upon Him, trusting in Him and Him alone. Listen, you can never have this sin laid upon Him, laid upon you that was laid upon Him. You can't have it laid upon you again. What kind of a state and condition would I be in if I thought that I'm going to die, and I will soon, I'm going to die and I'll go out in eternity, and God will make me pay for my sin? I couldn't have. That's no good hope, is it? He don't want us to live like that. That's the reason He's saying this. He's saying, when Christ died, He died because your sins was laid upon Him. He died. Now listen, because He died under sin once, and He dieth no more, and He is buried and is resurrected, and He ain't going to die no more because He already paid for them sins, and neither am I. Now listen, I'm going to quit by saying this. Under no circumstances there is no circumstances, conditions, or situation that will ever arise in this world or in eternity to come that would cause your sins to be raised up again and you be judged in yourself on the account of your sins. Not you that come to Jesus. Cannot be, and it won't be. It won't be. Can't be. My God, that's what I believe. I hope you believe it. I hope you believe it. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Shall we meet again tonight? Y'all want to come tonight? You want to stay at home? It's going to be cold. We're on to it. All right, let's forego tonight. And we'll come Wednesday night. Weather permitting. We'll come Wednesday night. All right? Pat, pray for us.